an old man for a while. All right. We're gonna walk through the life of Abraham for a little while. I don't know how long we'll do this, but we'll start today, and we'll kind of see where it goes. We'll start where he started, in Ur of the Chaldees, and we'll follow the life of Abraham for a couple weeks. Abraham is a man that exemplified faith. Few men outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself have had such an impact on the history of the world as Abraham has. You ever realize, thought about this? Abraham is revered by Christianity. He's revered as the father of the Jews, and he's revered in Islam. You realize that Abraham is well respected and revered by over half the world's population. That's quite an accomplishment, by the way, especially in today's world. Genesis chapter 1 through 11 deals with about 2,000 years of history, civilization, the sin, the flood, the languages changed, the people were dispersed. And then chapter number 12 begins to cover the nation of Israel, the patriarchs. Chapters 12 through essentially 50 deal with about 400 years. They deal with the life of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And then the rest of the 39 Old Testament books deal with the history of the nation that sprang from Abraham. And then the rest of the Bible, the Old Testament, centers on Abraham's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Abraham's quite an important man. There's a lot of things that we can learn from him. One of them is obedience. One of them is devotion. One of them is faith. There are probably a lot of characteristics. So let's begin reading today. Let's start. I had to turn to Genesis 12. Begin with chapter 11. Let's go backwards a little bit. And we'll start with verse number 26. Verse number 26. Genesis 11, verse number 26. The Word of God says, "And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran." Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begat Lot. Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity in the Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees is more than likely located in what is modern-day Iraq, in that area of the world. Is right about where the first desert war was fought there in 1991. And that's kind of the area where it was at. For many years, archaeologists didn't even really believe it. In fact, a lot of the doubters, the skeptics, mocked the Bible because they couldn't find it. One day they found it. And there it is, just like God said. It was a place of pagan idolatry. There was a lot of worship of astrology, the heavenly beings. They had a rather large library. They've unearthed a large library there. And so apparently it was a place of education and all that. But one of the things that really marked it was a place of idolatry. And that's where Abram gets his start. And so we're there, verse number 29. It says that Abram and Nahor took their wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran's son, and Sarai's daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. The Lord, chapter 12, verse number 1, "Now the Lord had," you circle words in your Bible, circle that, "had." We'll circle around to that in a moment. By the way, it's the first mark that I've made in my new Bible right there, had. And then I put a question beside that, Where I was reading this a while back, I put that, and I put a question, how long did he delay? Well, one of the writers that I've been reading after in the last week or so said it was about 6 years, and he just delayed. He was supposed to go to Canaan. God called him to go to Canaan, but instead, he stopped. There's a message there, by the way. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Verse number 2. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Why bother studying about a man that lived over 4,000 years ago? Probably a good reason would be the Bible talks about it. It's not a bad reason. Another reason is that Abram here, but his name is changed to Abraham later, he really teaches us a great deal about walking by faith, which I think we need to know more of and live more of. That's the goal of God for his children, that we would live by faith. The just shall live by faith. These verses here teach us about the early life of Abram. So let's start with number one, Amber. I have a punch on it and see if it's going to work today. No, it's not. All right, so you'll have to click away back there. I didn't do that because I was angry. Abram's obscure past. One writer I read after said that these were the wretched years. The wretched years. Well, I thought about that a lot. The wretched years. There was a time in the distant past when Abram was just a mere nobody. He was a nameless face in the crowd. Then you had the place of his original home, the Ur of the Chaldees. That was really kind of in that southwest corner of Iraq. It's really kind of in the middle of nowhere, but it is somewhat of a seaport there off the Persian Gulf. So it had all of that. And here he was. He was involved in being a shepherd and a cattleman there in that area. But there were problems in his original home. The problems were many. One of them is that even though Abram may have been prosperous, and we see later on that he was, the area was perverted. The people of that city were involved in some of the most wretched forms of idolatry that archaeologists have ever uncovered. In fact, Joshua said this about those. He said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. He said, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Or idolaters. History says that this city was a intellectual city. But there were problems there. And then there had to be some sort of pain. And when you read through this, you begin to read about Abraham's life. If you grew up in idolatry, you grew up in darkness. And in his past, as they begin to move forward, his father dies. And in verse number 30, just a verse that just kind of is put in there. Verse number 30, chapter 11, notice what it says. It says, but Sarah was barren. She had no child. It had to be a past of despair. Here he is, he married this lady. And God had told him, this is what I'm going to do in your life, but obviously it just wasn't going to happen, not without God's intervention. When you get right down to it, you see Abraham's past life of darkness and death and despair. And you know what I'm reminded of? Mine. Amber, put the next verse up there, if you will. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. What's the course of this world? Idolatry. We may not have worshipped stone idols, but we were just as lost as Abraham was before Jesus Christ came. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, we were disobedience to God. Even among also, we all had our conversation. The word conversation there means manner of life. In times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So when I look at Abraham's life, and I look back at what one writer said, his wretched life, I think of my life before Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't have any hope. I'm glad that God came into my life. I just don't know if I could ever be able to explain how grateful I am that God saved me. And all God's people said, I hope we never get over that. Not only did it change our destination, but it's impacted every area of our life. God is able to come where we are. Here's Abraham in a place of idolatry, in a place of following the devil, if you will, and involved in all of that. And God came and he began to work in his life, and he literally changed him for his glory. I'm reminded of what God will do in our lives. He can make us new creatures also, and several in this room he has. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. No one, here's what I want you to get today, the very beginning of this series, we're going to title this, Following in the Footsteps of Faith. You get this today. There is no one beyond the reach of God. Let me say that again. There is no one beyond the reach of God. Even a pagan like Abraham. God reached out of heaven and touched him and changed his life. And we'll see that. His obscure years. Number two. Let's see, his partial obedience. You know, one of the awesome things about the Bible, one of the things that makes it so real, it reveals the truth about man. It doesn't paint a picture with rose-colored glasses on. All God's men were good men. No, it unveils everything. Verse number 31, we see that Terah took Abram. Well, in verse number 1 of chapter 12, look at it again. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram. Now God called him. God gave him a call. So one writer said the first part of his life were wretched. The second part would be wasted here. We're not told how the call came to Abraham, but the Bible uses the word had, so that means it previous had happened. We're told that God spoke to this man in his darkness and called him out. He was called to leave his region. He was called to leave his religion. And he was called to leave his relatives. But he didn't do any of those. See, God's call is for you and I to follow without being concerned about the destination. I started to put a map up and I couldn't find one big enough that kind of gave us an idea. But if you look on a map where Ur of the Chaldees is at, say Ur of the Chaldees will be right about here, okay? God had called Abram to go to the land of Canaan, which is modern-day Israel. It was almost right across from it. You know where Haran was at? Haran was straight there. What in the world is he doing there when he should have been over there? Have you ever found yourself like that? Have you ever kind of gotten in a place and you ask yourself, how did I get here? Sometimes we're there because of partial obedience. Abram was told to leave everybody, but who'd he take? Daddy. Lot. So there was a call to depart. There was really a compromise, if you will. The nature of Abram's call was for him to leave. He said, God said, when you. But then you read, and they went. Some, in fact, I read this last week, some may argue that he just wanted to take his family as he began his journey for the Lord. That's noble. And it should be indicated, there's no indication that they were all saved. They were still pagans. No indication, but he brought them along, and I'm going to tell you something, it impacted his life negatively. He said, well, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter if it makes any sense. That's what God told him to do. Some of the greatest blessings in my life and in your life have been where we've stepped out, and it didn't make sense to anybody. But we just trusted. And I'm here to tell you today that whenever you step out on faith in total obedience, not partial obedience, but in total obedience, God will make a way and God will do something mighty. 56 years old. I've been saved since I was 17. Almost 40 years. 39 years. How many of those have been wasted because I lived in partial obedience? I don't know. If you add up the numbers and you kind of do the genealogies, it looks like Abram wasted about 6 years. About 6 years. Always remember that partial obedience is simply disobedience. A half-truth is still a whole lie. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Until you and I have done all that God says to do, we haven't done what God said to do. Well, what has the Lord told you to do that you haven't done yet? Have you? Have I come short in the obedience department? Has God told me to leave something behind? Has God told me that I haven't? By the way, some of them are easy, some of them are difficult. I want to tell you, sometimes God has asked us to separate from some things that were not ungodly. They were just not part of His plan for our life. Samuel made this statement in the book of Samuel. He says, God, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? He said, you know, I'm sure that it's worthy for you to offer sacrifices and all to God, but then he says, is that really as important as obeying? Then he goes on, he says, behold, who obey is better than sacrifice. Notice that Abraham did not leave Haran and fully follow the Lord until the death of his father. The word, his father's name means delay. Kind of like some people I know, their name is late for everything. M.R. DeHaan wrote in his book, before man can move forward, the old man must die. The old man, the dad, had to die before Abraham could move forward. Here's a note. You and I need to be careful that we don't stand in the way of somebody else's obedience. Amen. I've seen grandparents get in the way of a child that surrendered to go to the mission field. Right here. I know young people that have made a decision to go into the ministry and their parents and their grandparents totally were against it. And you know what's sad? Those children, those young people that made the decision today are not in church at all today. Wasted years. Wasted. There was a cost in it. There was a cost for the delay. There always is. While he lingered in Haran, years went by. I wonder what Abram could have been enjoying. 6 years halfway to the land of promise. 6 years spent halfway in surrender. 6 years spent halfway in victory. Just wasted. There's no mention anywhere in the Bible during these years of a single prayer that Abram sent up. There's no mention of an altar or a sacrifice or anything. It wasn't that he just was in the wrong place physically. He was in the wrong place spiritually. Wasted. Always remember that partial obedience is still disobedience. Always remember, until you have done all that God says to do, you haven't done what God says to do. We see his obscure past. He came from nowhere. He came from an idolatrous culture, idolatrous family. And God changed his life. Never forget, partial obedience. By the way, this is going to be kind of a plague for Abram's life for a long time. We're going to see later on in the life of Abraham that his thorn in the flesh was because of partial obedience. A man by the name of Lot came along with him. Lot wasn't supposed to. He was supposed to leave Lot. Number three. We have his obscure year, his wasted years, if you will, his partial obedience, number three. Let's move forward to good. Precious opportunities. The only time I ever use the word precious is in a sermon title, amen? It's not one that I normally use. Oh, that's so precious. No, I just don't use stuff like that. Some of you may, but I try not to use unmanly words like that, amen? Precious promises. I needed a word that began with a P. That was the first one that popped in my mind. Look at it, verse number 1 of chapter 12 again. Verse number 1, it says, "Now the Lord God, the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I'll show thee." By the way, sometimes it's difficult to follow God whenever you don't know where you're going. But he did it. He did it, but it just took him a little while. Praise God that he did eventually do it. And then notice the promise that God gives him. God told him. He says, "I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." He said, "I'll bless them that bless thee." By the way, these promises transfer over to the modern day nation of Israel. And you can see through history, countries that have not stood up or stood with the nation of Israel, what has happened to them. One of the reasons why God has blessed America is because we've recognized the importance of God's hand upon that little nation. But notice a couple precious opportunities that he gets. One is this: he gets to walk in the presence of God. The man Abram had been called out of gross darkness to walk into the presence of the Lord. You're talking about a change from darkness into light. There is nothing in this world that is more precious than walking with God by faith. Whenever we walk with God by faith, that puts us in dependence upon Him, and He will never let you down. The Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And then the next verse says this: "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and what can man do unto me?" Why? Because He is always with me. You and I as Christians get to enjoy to walk in the presence of Almighty God. Those who lean solidly upon the Lord need never fear. The psalmist says, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Why? Because God is there. A precious opportunity to walk in the presence of God. Not only that, but if you read these three verses here, you see that he begins to watch, not just walk, but now he begins to see events unfold. He begins to watch the very providence of God. The word providence means the care and the superintendence of God over his creatures. It means that he is preparing something for future use. The providence of God's watch care. God makes some really big promises to Abraham. Look at all the things. First of all, he promises him a new home. He promises him many offspring. He didn't even have a child yet. He offers him great blessings. He offers him a great name. He says that Abram himself will be a blessing. He says God will protect him from his enemies. He says God will bless his friends. And then he says all the world will be blessed through Abram's faith. I want to tell you something. Those are pretty powerful, pretty grand promises, if you will. Abram has no idea how God's going to work it out, but you know what? He knows God's going to. His faith has grown to the place now in just these few short years. We're talking 10 or 12 years here. In just these few short years, we're watching Abraham's faith grow immensely. You know, that's where God wants to bring us to. In just a short amount of time, where we're willing to trust God. And he's able to give us some precious opportunities. I don't know about you, but I've seen the providence of God at work in my life and in many of yours. I don't know about you, but I have walked in the presence of God. I walked in the presence of God earlier this morning. We did it here when we prayed together. Regardless of what the devil, the flesh, or the world can tell us, you can trust God. You can trust God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Abram had some wonderful opportunities to walk in the presence of God, to watch God's providence and God's promises unfold. And then you get to verse number 3. He's got to be wondering about the purpose of God. What does all this mean? As Abram began his journey of faith, he must have questioned God at different times. Can you imagine? An old idolater, you know, he's middle-aged now in the 70s. He's been an idolater for the majority of his life. Yet God tells him in verse number 3, he says, listen, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless them that bless thee. I'm going to curse them that curse thee. Abram lived to be another 100 years after this. He lived to, what, 175 years old? You know what? On this earth, Abram never had an inkling of how God was going to make that promise true. It didn't happen until 2,000 years after that. More than that, about 2,000 years. Because about 2,000 years, a babe would be born in Bethlehem. That was out of the lineage of Abraham. As we live this life of faith in this world, there'll be times, there'll be days, there'll be weeks, there'll be months that we cannot see the way. There will be days when we too will wonder if God will ever do anything with the likes of us. Have you ever thought that before? Can God do something with me? There will be times when we'll have to walk by faith, not by sight. The sad but true reality is this. Some people just can't seem to do that. May God help us to learn to live by faith. Faith is not stepping out on nothing. Faith is stepping out on the promises of God. By the way, all the promises that God gave Abraham, he kept. He kept. There's an old saying that says the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a step. For every one of us, there's got to be a step. There's got to be that footstep of faith. Maybe that footstep of faith, whenever you step out on faith and you trust Jesus as your Savior, that's there. Well, there's a lot of footsteps after that. We're on a journey. And whenever you stand still, you're missing out on the promises of God. Are you ready? Am I ready to step out by faith into a life of daily surrender? This takes a step. You say, well, I don't know where. No, you don't have to worry about the whole journey. You just have to take the first step. Have you made the step of faith that, can I say this? Abram was living a humdrum life. Well, it's kind of, was going about his life until he stepped out on faith. Everything changed. You know, the same thing happened for us. Maybe you're stuck in a rut. You think, you know, that's not, why don't you just say, God, I'm going to surrender to you today. Maybe you know what God has asked you to leave behind. Maybe it's not relatives and a region and all, but maybe it is something that you love. When God says, are you willing to take up your cross and deny yourself? Anything that you give up for God, God will replace it with something much better. Saw a meme a while back on Facebook. I like looking at those things. But it's a little kid. And the little kid has something in their hand. Let's just say it's a single flower. A single flower. And Jesus is there bent over asking the little child to give him the little flower. While behind his back, he has a whole bouquet of flowers. If that little child will just surrender that. Maybe it's time for you and I to say, okay, God, you can have this. Abram left those things. And boy, did God have something for him. You and I will never be all we can be, all we were created to be, until we're willing to cast ourselves on Him. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.